Well, we've come to an exciting time for the service, and of course you know the Bible and finances and stewarding your legacy has been our Equip series, and so we're certainly glad that we got it started last week, and Brother Wade Farmer kind of introduced it and kicked it off, and Brother Shannon Barker will go here for the next, tonight and probably two more weeks, and we're looking forward to it. I hope that you had an opportunity to take that quiz and to see who you are, if you haven't, I'm sure there's still some back in the lobby. You can do that after the service and just kind of give you a little bit of reference. I took it. I'm not going to tell you who I am. I don't want you making fun or poking at me or anything. So I hope that you took it as well. And so Brother Shannon will be referencing that tonight. And so I hope you just settle in now. I believe it's going to be some wonderful biblical information that God's going to use in each of our lives. And so I appreciate Brother Shannon. He's, of course, a deacon here and then teaches the home builders class over for our Sunday school class. Has a wonderful group of people that he gets to instruct each week. And God's using him in a special way. And I'm thankful that he's willing to do this tonight for the next couple weeks. So Brother Shannon, won't you come? And we're certainly glad to get started tonight. And I believe that you're going to be blessed. And let's get it all we can while God gives it to us.
All right. Amen. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to teach on a Wednesday night. And I certainly count it a privilege. And to my Sunday school class, I did apologize already to you because you get to hear this for a second time. Because not too long ago, about a year and a half ago, I taught this series in our Sunday school class. So I'll be sharing with you in 2 to 3 Wednesday nights what I shared with them in 8 Sunday school hours. And so please pray for me that the Lord would help me to share exactly what He wants us to talk about and to study in this in this time that we have. And so just a great blessing to be a part of this church and be able to serve and minister and worship together. And so certainly glad to share this with you tonight. Wade did a great job introducing this topic last week and stewarding your legacy, honoring God in the way that He has made us, in the way that He has each made us unique, in the way we handle finances. So if you're looking to me to give you all your financial answers, to tell you how to do things and invest, you're looking at the wrong person, because I'm still figuring all that out in my life and trying to follow God's will. And that's not the purpose of this series. The purpose of this series is to honor God and find out how we can grow in the Lord and grow in the way that God has made us. And so I'm excited to share this with you this evening. And so, again, this material is not something that I came up with. There was a reference in the survey that you took, and it was used sort of as a framework to build this Bible study. And so I'll be referencing some stories from that reference as well through our lesson. And so we will start tonight. This is the 7 money types. Notice that as you took that survey, there were 7 Bible characters that was referencing. And you found out, if you took the survey, you found out that you were primarily, probably predominantly one of those people, and maybe secondary, that you had a secondary score that related more to a second person. And so if you didn't get a chance to take the survey, it's not too late. You can go take it this week or next week. All these things are appropriate. And you may say, well, I'm probably not going to take that survey. Well, that's okay too, because this material shows us how to be closer to the Lord, how to apply the biblical principles of those characteristics to our own life. And so I'm excited about that. Again, this series is not about what to do with your money. It's about strengthening our relationship with God and with others by understanding how God has made us. And so we're excited about looking at this. So each Bible character, we'll take each Bible character, look at their basic beliefs, look at their core characteristics as it relates to finances, look at what Wade referenced last week as the shadow side or the challenge that you have. We're all made in ways and we have strengths, but we also have weaknesses. And so we're going to learn what those are. And then each character will talk about how to grow. So if you relate to one particular character, we'll talk about those things that God can help us grow in and relate to either our spouse or others in this way. And so let's pray and we'll get right into the lesson. Lord, I ask you to bless us tonight. Lord, thank you for your word, how powerful your word is in every area of your life, of our lives. And Lord, you have a will for us. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we'll study exactly what you would like us to hear. Lord, I pray that there'll be something that each person can take away tonight and start to think about and meditate on and apply to our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the seven money types, we will start tonight with two of those. And the survey results, of course, this was all unanimous and anonymous as far as the survey results, but it was able to get an idea of what characters we need to focus more on. So the first two that we'll be talking about is Moses and also Abraham. So we'll start with Moses. So if you were a Moses, this is your character, okay? So I want you to think about this. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Exodus, and we'll turn to our Bibles to the book of Exodus and chapter number 3. And we'll find reference here as we think about Moses and how Moses stewarded his life and his resources and money and how we can apply that to the Christian life. And so, again, we're here in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 10. It says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And we see here the call to Moses. And the background here really is Moses, again, led the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage and really led them out of Egyptian bondage. And we know, as we study God's word, that he faced a greater foe, and it was themselves. We read the story of the Israelites and the struggles that they had and the battles that they faced as they came into fellowship with the Lord and fell back away. And we're going to look at tonight, you know, the worship of the idols and things that they brought them away from the will of God and under the direction of God. But we see that the Israelites, you know, even griped at Moses. If we turn to Exodus 16 and verse number 3, also looking at this, it says, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness." What does it say? "To kill this whole assembly with hunger." They were griping at Moses. They were ill because of the things that they were facing. And yet Moses was called for a time as this. Moses, the Lord used Moses to manage the resources of the children of Israel and endure. But it would require some great faith on behalf of Moses. And if we look at chapter 16, continuing on there in verses 4 and 5, after they were griping towards Moses, it says, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, and that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Verse number 5 says, "And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." We see here that it was faith. It would require faith for Moses to help the children of Israel to manage the resources. Moses repeatedly received commands from the Lord and really showed how his characteristic here, and Moses reveals the aspect of God, which is in finances, is endurance. So how do we apply that? Really here, we see that Moses, you know, survived nearly four decades in the wilderness wanderings, and the endurance of God that will not give up on his people. And praise the Lord that God doesn't give up on you and I. I thank the Lord for his faithfulness to us. In the midst of every trial that we have, God is faithful. And we see that Moses represents the characteristics of endurance. So the basic belief is that money should be carefully organized. Moses types are really organized. They represent that financial endurance, which requires a lot of well-ordered habits. These folks have very structured ways of taking care of money. Moses had a thorough and structured plan to manage the resources for the children of Israel. And so I want to read just a little short passage about a person that relates more to the Moses type here. And it says, "When I think about money, my thoughts go towards the Lord and how money must be handled in the way that pleases Him and matters for eternity." And that's stewarding our resources. That's stewarding our legacy. That's the point in what we're studying, is how do we honor God in the way that God has blessed us. And so we see that in way of Moses and how they relate. Moses types love financial plans, and they stick to it. They're consistent. They're determined. They prepare for financial situations that may arise, and also relate to the order of finances to honor God. So they think they approach finances in the way of order, and they want to honor God by providing that structure. So if we see the next slide and the next in your handout, you see that there's more characteristics here. These core characteristics, first is they love order. You know, Leviticus and Exodus is full of orders that were passed on by God through Moses to the children of Israel. And order allows for fewer opportunities to worry. And they like to have every dollar is allocated in its place, but also allows for some things that are come unexpectedly. And so these Moses types, again, they love the order of finances. I'm going to read a story about Kent and Bonnie. And so I'll read this here in way of illustration of loving order. It says, "Kent loves financial orders like few others. He and his wife, Bonnie, are fun to be around when talking about finances. Kent, a wealth management advisor, walks the way of Moses, and Bonnie strongly resonates with the Jacob type, which is represents beauty. One evening, my wife and I hosted a group of friends, and we all started talking about how we keep track of our money. And Kent began to describe the management of their finances. And so here's his account. It says, "Each morning I get up, I pull out my laptop, I make a pot of coffee. I check our expenses from the prior day against our budget every day. I make certain that every dollar is in its proper place. At the bottom of the spreadsheet, there's a net number that shows me what the score is and whether we're over or under the budget goal, whether we stuck to the plan. I love checking my budget spreadsheet because it's like reading the news for me." So there's an example of a Moses type, okay? So we see here the loving of order. So his wife's response, she couldn't help herself any longer, and she said, "Yeah," and then he delivers the news to me each morning when I wake up. I get a full report. I mean, I'm thankful for it. She said, "But you know, I'm only half awake. You know, breakfast before budget is a good rule of thumb," okay? So if you're a Moses type, make sure that you give enough time in the morning for folks to wake up and for you to share this information. And so just the idea of loving order and how it affects, those are one of the core characteristics of a Moses type. Also, they love rhythms. Moses types loves order. We know that the Israelites had a rhythm. We read that about the manna from heaven and how they had to collect that. And there had to be a rhythm and order of that, ordered by God. And so Moses types enjoys going through those financial routines. We also see that they view systemic giving as a secret to financial well-being. Again, they love following the will of God in their life and knowing that obedience and that being obedient to God and knowing that the Lord is going to bless obedience. And we see it time and time again in our own life and also in the lives of those that we read as we study God's Word. And so there, here another illustration. This is a little girl and her mother. And her mother, she watches her mother write checks. And so her mother's writing a check, says, "What about this check, Mommy?" And her daughter asked. And she said, she always sat beside her and watched her write these checks. "This one's for the Lord, sweetheart, the one I take to church every week." And so she said, "Can I give it to the Lord this time?" And the little girl said, her mom said, "Sure you can." And we've all, for us that had children, we know that we've all had that situation. You know, the offering, we've just recently started passing the offering plate, and our kids, you know, always like to be able to put that something in the offering plate as they come by. You know, and so this child probably had that similar experience. And so she started, stared at the check her mother held in her hand the whole way to church. And they entered the building and came to a place there where in the church where they could drop in a little drop box if they had missed a service or needed to put something in. And it says, Victoria grinned from ear to ear and opened the lid of the offering slot. Valerie, the little girl, peered inside, and suddenly the smile left her face. "Mommy," she said, "I don't see the Lord in here." And so the concept was that she didn't quite understand how writing that check was giving it to the Lord, because she didn't see the Lord in that box that she was sliding that check into. But we all, Moses types, realize that giving is a blessing. Giving is a way to honor God and to be able to give to that. And often acts as financial guides. Moses types are often those kind of people that you might find yourself going to ask for direction or leadership. We knew that Moses was a special leader in the children of Israel, and a special leader. If you want to turn to Deuteronomy, this is the last reference for this slide. But if you turn to Deuteronomy 34 and verse number 10. So this was at the end of Moses' life. And we see in verse number 10, it says, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Well, what a testimony that Moses had as a leader. And we know that Moses types often help people deliver themselves from financial situations they find themselves in. And Moses types are one, again, to turn to for advice. And so these are some of the core characteristics of Moses. And also, Moses types don't worry about money much because they have so much order that they have everything structured in order, and there's no room for worry. They don't worry themselves much. I work today, and I have had some meetings to prepare for tomorrow, and I was able to, praise the Lord, I was able to get everything done and leave there with it all finished. Well, that, because I have everything in order for those things tomorrow, it lets me rest, lets me not have to worry about those things. And Moses types finds those same things. They've learned to trust in God, and because of the structure, there's not much worry. And so you say, well, what is the next thing? And the shadow side is they're often impatient. Moses types are often, because they have so much order and so much structure, they're impatient. And they have difficulty really tolerating disorganization and things that aren't structured just right, to the point where you can see that they can be extremely judgmental of other people and how they handle money and how they handle their finances. You know, God told Moses to return down from Mount Sinai to the people. Turn to Exodus with me, and Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32. And we'll read in verse number 7. And we see here that in verse 7 it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." He's telling Moses, you've got to go down. They have got activity there that you've got to take care of. Well, Moses did go down, and if you follow on down in chapter 32 and come to verse number 19 and 20, and it says, "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it into the fire and ground it into powder and strawed it up on the water and made the children of Israel drink of it." Wow, he got pretty upset about that. And he was very impatient, very frustrated about that. He threw those stone tablets down. Moses types get impatient with others not following the rules of finance that they have, the order that they have, that God has made them to have. And so we've got to be careful that if you're a Moses type, that you have to be careful about how judgmental we are. Care too much, work too hard. They work to fix all the problems. In fact, we find if we read in Exodus 18, This is when Moses went to his father-in-law Jethro, and Jethro gave him advice. This is when Moses was trying to solve all the problems of the children of Israel. And if we look at Exodus 18, verse 17, we see that the advice that Jethro gave Moses at the time, in verse 17, it says, "And Moses' father-in-law said unto him," what did he say? He said, "The thing that thou doest is not good." He's saying, you're going to wear yourself out. You're caring too much. You're trying too hard to fix the problems of the children of Israel. So this is an idea that Moses types often. They maybe get involved when they should let it go, and they cause too much work for themselves. So Moses types, finally, how do you grow? Well, first, embrace your desire to bring order. Let the Lord use that to honor God. There are situations where there needs to be lots of order. I don't know what his type is, and I wouldn't ask him what his type is, but Brother Burt Martin, he brings a lot of order to our church, to our budget, to our budget process. And there is a way to honor God in the way that God has made us to handle finances. Clearly see those financial situations, therefore you're an asset to your family, to those around you. This is mind your own money. Avoid making others feel like your way's the only way. A lot of order that Moses types have sometimes, and husbands and wives, if you're a Moses type, you may have an elbow here, elbow there, but just be kind. And those Moses types, you want to be careful that we're taking care of our business. Also, how to grow. Can you advance me to the next slide, Rick? Thank you. Create rhythms of rest. Moses types are so worried about order that a lot of times they don't give themselves rest. And God used Moses to establish that Sabbath and that rest time for a way to replenish. And also embrace patience. We have a tendency for those of us that have order and like order and everything in its place, when things aren't in its place, we don't rest very well. It gets us a little nervous. It gets us a little apprehensive. And so really embrace that. Avoid taking everything to the point where you have to fix everything and be the solution to that problem. Show the patience of God as we go forward. So that is the first one for this evening. And so we'll move on to Abraham. And Abraham is our second money type for this evening. So we have saw that Moses had the characteristic of endurance and how he endured with the children of Israel, and the endurance and structure that it brings into our financial, how we handle our finances and how we honor God in that way. If you're an Abraham type, here we see that the Abraham type is related to hospitality. You like to use money for being serving others, being hospitable to those around you. If you want to turn your Bibles to Genesis in chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, and we'll read verses 2 and 3 together. It says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Here is that covenant with Abraham, and we see that this idea here that Abraham was blessed, and we know that Abraham encountered in his life messengers from God. So as we look at this together, turn from Genesis 12 and turn to Genesis 18. Again, this is the account that shortly after Isaac is promised to Abraham, a son. And so we see here that this encounter with these messengers of the Lord. And so God's messengers in Genesis 18 and verses 3 through 10. And so we'll read this together, because I think this illustrates the hospitality of the Abraham type. And so you're in chapter 18 and verse 3. It says, "And said, said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. So we stop there just for a moment. So Abraham encounters these messengers from God, and he's wanting them to stay, wanting to serve them. And so we see here Abraham in verse 6, it says, Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetcheth a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hastened to dress it, and took it to the. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood up them under the tree, and they did eat. And so we see here in these last two verses, verse 9 and 10, and they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door and was behind him. So we see here that Abraham, his response, we saw that if you look at the words that described his response, things like ran, hastened, quickly, stood near. He waited on them. He was hospitable to those God's messengers. And this is exactly how Abraham types handle finances. They want to be hospitable. They see money should be used to make others feel special and to make them feel valued. So if you took that survey and you were an Abraham type, this is the way you see God has gifted you to handle finances. They use resources to show God's loving kindness to one another. They view personal resources as a means to bless others, and in doing so, fulfilling the call of God in their life. We see Abraham types use resources to uplift the goodness of God. It's not serving others with finances is not an act of drudgery to them. They see it as a blessing to be able to use their finances in that way. And Abraham types, they go out of their way to show others that they matter. Matter, that they're valued, that they're accepted in this way. So again, their basic belief is money should be used to show others that they're valued. We see Abraham types, core characteristics, they exceed expectations. Did you notice in the scripture that we read, Abraham promised a little morsel and a little water and a morsel of bread to the guest. But guess what he ended up providing? A full meal. He went and gathered the calf and all the things. I mean, he wanted to do it right. And so he went above and beyond, exceeded those expectations. They see resources as a way to make everything special. The first concern is not stretching that dollar, but rather how they can they create that experience for others. You know, and we see this putting others first is another core characteristics of an Abraham type. Even putting their desires last. If we look back in verse number chapter 13, and verses 8 and 9, here we see the account of Abraham and Lot. And so if we think about Abraham putting others first, we see that in verse number 8 of chapter 13, it says, And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. In other words, Abraham's saying, listen, you take what you want, and I'll take what you don't have. You go first, putting others first. And we see this in the life of Abraham. They risk the risk of expending all hospitality without replenishing themselves. They put others first. They also believe that giving is a gift. as a gift from being able to give is a gift that, God has blessed them to do. They use resources to serve in often unnoticed ways. They're usually not what we call high maintenance individuals. These people are behind the scenes working. I could call out many ministries in our church, but the one ministry that comes to mind is the nursery workers. How many work in a nursery? Raise your hand. Let's see. Lots of hands. Okay. Now, in our bulletin, we highlight ministries in our church. And in the nursery ministry, we have leaders in that nursery ministry that we highlight. But not everybody's name gets to be put in a bulletin under that nursery worker schedule. And you serve our church in a great way, and often in an unnoticed way. And I love that our church has those highlights, those ministries every Wednesday night, because we can remember who is it that serves in the third grade department? Who is it that teaches that adult Sunday school class? We can know and pray for those people and come behind them in their ministry here at church. But the point here is oftentimes these people are serving in a way that goes very unnoticed. I could call out the folks to raise their hand that works in the sound booth right now and upstairs, and they do a great service. And again, as they've said, you wouldn't know that they're there unless something's not going right. If my mic shut off or something happened, then you would be like, what's going on with the sound, okay? Or why can't I hear? But yet they serve in an unnoticed way many times, and praise the Lord for what they do. And those Abraham types serve a lot of times in an unnoticed way. They enjoy using food to show kindness. Now, we're a Baptist church, and we like to eat, and we like to have snacks, and we like to do lots of things with food. It's hospitable. It's a thing that they see to be able to use food to minister. And so I want to read a quick little account of a story. This was a story of Reed, and Reed loved to cook. He loved being in the kitchen. Some people paint, others, play music, but Reed loved to cook. And so one night, Reed had plenty of leftover spaghetti. The thought occurred to him, I should probably take this to church. Someone may need it. 7 years later, we hosted some couple, both Reed and a young woman, in our home. As we dialogued over coffee, the young woman became somewhat choked up and saying, "I've never told you this before, Reed, but do you remember when you delivered the spaghetti to church a long time ago?" She said, "I found out it was you from the receptionist." So after him thinking about it for a while, he vaguely remembered that moment that he brought the spaghetti. But the woman began to account. She said, you had no way of knowing this." She said, "But at the time, I was barely paying my bills. I didn't have any money left over for food that particular week. I was crying out to the Lord in prayer to help me get food. And I really didn't want to tell anyone I was struggling. That same day, the receptionist sent an email out to the group of people with whom I was volunteering with at the church, telling us that there was leftover spaghetti in the break room. Nobody else stopped by to get it that day. So at the end of the day, I took it home with me. I ate spaghetti all week. It was just enough to get me through until the next payday." She said, "You delivered the spaghetti, but for me, it was straight from God." And so we often don't understand how we can touch people's lives and minister to people and what it means. And a lot of times these Abraham types reach out and want to show that hospitality to others. And they do it here, again, showing that hospitality in way of using food to show that kindness. We see that the self-sufficient, they see this the shadow side of Abraham types is that being self-sufficient. They don't think they need help from others. They're always the helper and never the helped. They don't like to have help from others. They have difficulty receiving generosity. We see that in the life of Abraham. He refused to the help of others, refused the gift of King Sodom there in Genesis 14, and also refused the free land that he was offered when he encountered the need to bury his wife. And that was in Genesis 23. And that is the shadow type of an Abraham type, is that being really self-sufficient. And so how do we grow? If you're an Abraham type and you love to be hospitable, and you see that God has blessed you in that way to handle and steward your finances and steward your legacy in the way of hospitality, then how do you grow? What ways do you grow? Well, first of all, you embrace your desire to show hospitality. If you took this survey and you see this as your type and you're not involved with something here at the church, that we have a ministry when people when families experience loss in their family, that they fix food and bring food to the church, there's different ways that you can get involved here at the church to let God allow God to work through you and use your talents for the Lord. So find a place, embrace that desire to show that hospitality. Again, check your motives. We want to always give confidently and not hoping for something in return. If you're an Abraham type and you're giving of yourself, we want to make sure we're doing it to honor the Lord and not with expecting something in return. You know, tell others what you want. Again, help others make you feel special. Again, remember, Abraham types are usually the giver and not the receiver. Let others know what you want. Establish a budget. Hospitality without a budget is like a river without banks. You know, you may really like to be hospitable, and you can get ahead of yourself in finances with that if you're not careful. So you've got to have some guidelines for yourself as an Abraham type. And remember to spend money on yourself. Most Abraham types will jump over spending something on themselves to spend something on others, to spend something on their spouse or their kids or their family, because they see they have this desire to be hospitable to others. So make sure and avoid neglecting yourself in that way. So, we've reached the end. It's 7:52, Pastor. I'm going to end on time, so praise the Lord for that. I didn't keep you any longer than normal. I do appreciate maybe an extra Wednesday night to be able to get through this, because it's a lot of stuff, and we don't want to rush through it too much. But these two types were two predominant types of how our church relates to these characteristics of finance. So, we saw the Moses type. Endurance was the strength, was the characteristic that the Moses types were in, that they embody. And then we saw that the challenge or the weakness is being real impatient about things. We looked at Abraham types. We saw that they were really hospitable and loved to use how God has blessed them and made them to be hospitable to others and use their resources and finances in that way. But then we saw that the challenge was a lot of times they're really self-sufficient to the point where they may hurt themselves. And so the application tonight, as we draw to a close, and I'll ask Pastor to come, but really is reflect on your interaction with these types. You know, many of you are sitting here with your spouse or with your family, and you both took the survey, and you know what each other are. You know, a lot of times we know that financial conversations is one thing in our relationships and our marriages that we need to be careful with and handle with care. And a lot of times it's understanding how we each relate to those financial situations. How can we interact differently? For those that are Abraham or Moses types, you know, that tension with certain people, what ways do these contribute? And really asking God, one, for the wisdom to understand how God has made us, and then two, to understand how we can honor God in the way that God has blessed us and made us. And then one thing, thinking about one thing that you can do differently as a result of knowing more about how God has made you and your predisposition to finances. Pastor?
As we look at these things, I hope that you're doing what I'm doing, and that is not just gathering information, but that you're looking at, say, okay, well, what can I do to be better? And nobody in here is past the point of growth. You say, oh, Pastor, I'm so old, I'm done. Well, none of us are done, or God would take us on. And so we can change and be better. And some things that I'm thinking about that you can take what's been presented and some good lessons and correlations between these Bible characters and us, and then look at you and make your home a happier home. I'm thinking of this just this week or last week, one or the other. Amy and I were talking to one of our church folks, and they were newer families, and they were so blessed because somebody had been here a while, had them plus one or two other couples over to their house. And so they said it was just so nice to get to know some people outside of just, hi, how are you doing on the way out? So this is one of these Bible types, one of these, that used Saul hospitality as a way that they could bring people in and that they could make them feel very, very comfortable. And so, as Brother Shannon mentioned, embrace what God has gifted you with. Don't be so pig-headed that you think it's the only way to be, but embrace it and use it for the glory of God, because God didn't give you anything by accident. And so I'm so grateful for this lesson. Look forward to the next couple and trust it'll be a blessing to you. So I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to stand together with us as the ladies make their way to the instruments. Of course, this is our normal Wednesday night, and I never like to close a service without asking somebody that maybe God's done something in your heart. Maybe it's about these financial issues. Maybe it's not. But you've come to church tonight, and we've looked in the Bible tonight, and it always works on us. His word shall not return void. And so maybe you're here tonight and there's just something unrelated or related that you want to get right with the Lord. You just want to have a little time with Him. I invite you to come to the altar and pray here. You can pray there at your seat. But then also along with that, as they begin to play, you can go ahead. As along with that, if you're here tonight and you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you say, Pastor, He is the Savior. I know He's the Savior, but you're not sure that He's your personal Savior, that you put your faith, your dependence, your reliance on Him. All of this information is good, whether you're saved or not saved, but you can learn all of these truths and not know how to apply them and not be saved, and it wouldn't really matter. So maybe you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved. Would you step out and come and let me or somebody just take a moment with the Word of God and show you how you can be saved? As they play, you come if God's leading you to. And if there's some other need in your heart, you want to come and pray, you need somebody to pray with you, we'd be glad to do that. But you don't need somebody to pray, you just want to come and pray, then once you come and do that. As they play through another verse, we ask Brother Bobby Brown, if you don't mind, to come down this way, Bobby, and pray for our harvest party this week. And then I want you to get one more good look at him in case you're saying, I didn't ever sign up, then you can still talk to him. We've got something that you can do, I'm sure. And I'm going to ask him to close us in prayer and pray for the harvest party. And then as he prays, I want you to pray with him that God would just truly give us a wonderful, wonderful time, and folks would be blessed, families would be encouraged. So I don't want you to forget, it's 1 to 4 this Saturday, and we'll have a wonderful time together over in the Family Life Center, and there'll be some stuff that spills out, weather permitting, out in the parking lot, but all of those things move together to be a great impact on the family. So don't forget to be praying for the gospel to go forward, and then for that to fall on fertile ground as people hear. So Brother Bobby, why don't you close us in prayer, and then also he'll, as he makes his way back to the lobby after this, if you still haven't signed up, you'd like to help him, then I'm sure that he would welcome that as well. So pray for us, please.
Father, we thank you so much for the lesson that was given to us tonight, Lord. And I pray that you will impress upon all of our hearts how we can be the best stewards that we can for the gifts you've given us, Lord. I pray that, Lord, as we go out this week, that we will be mindful of those around us that need the Lord. And Lord, I pray as we come upon this harvest party, that you will open doors and open hearts and give us the opportunity to share the gospel with the people in our community. I pray that you will give us opportunities, give us clarity as we speak to people, and most importantly, show the love of Christ. I pray that you will bless the time and bless the people, bless the volunteers, and most importantly, the people that come and join us, Lord. We ask all of these things in your name. Amen. Thank you.